Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 85. Today we're having a second look at what the New Testament teaches us, or shows us, about preaching and teaching. What insights do we get from the New Testament itself? Last week we looked at a particular word, caruso, the Greek word caruso. You may want to look at the recording or listen to the recording about that to get those insights. And this week we've got a second word, and that word is parakaleo. Parakaleo. This word appears 127 times in the New Testament in 105 different verses. So it's clearly an important word, and it's a word used to describe preaching and teaching. It's used for more than that, and you'll see that in the verses I'm going to put in the show notes. All the references to parakaleo in the New Testament will be in those show notes on the YouTube channel and the podcast and on the blog. So you can look at all those if you like. And you will notice that many of them aren't used of preaching and teaching, but many are. And they do give us some very helpful insight. So let's first of all define our word, parakaleo. What does it mean? Well, according to the New Testament Greek dictionaries, it means this, to call for, to invite to come, someone to come and listen, to send for, to exhort. Now there's a good word, exhort. To admonish, to persuade, to beg. You'll see that word used a lot when the demons are begging Jesus for certain things. To beseech, to entreat, to implore, to encourage, to comfort, and to console. It's to cause someone to be encouraged or consoled. So here's my working definition, my summary of what I think parakaleo means for New Testament preaching and teaching. You can come up with your own, but how about this as a summary and see what you think? I would say regarding public speaking, the use of parakaleo in public speaking, it is preaching that inspires because it comforts. Preaching that inspires because it comforts. I don't know about you, but I rather like sermons and lessons that inspire me by or through comforting me. And I think a lot of the New Testament preaching is like that. Anyway, let's have a think about this by looking at the example of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is described using parakaleo in Luke chapter 3. And I think there are some practical things that we can learn here that will help us in our preaching and teaching. So let's spend a little bit of time in Luke chapter 3. The particular use of the word is in verse 18. So let's look at that first and then some of the rest of what he's doing, see what we can learn from that. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 18, it says this: with many other words, John exhorted the people. So exhorted, that word there in the English is the English translation of parakaleo there. Exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. He exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news. And of course, the proclaim word there is euangelizo, meaning the good news. So we've got two words there very important to New Testament preaching and teaching, both parakaleo and euangelizo. Exhorting and proclaiming. Now, the proclaiming we may come on to another time, but today we're focusing on the parakaleo, the exhorting. Now, what does he exhort? What kind of exhorting is it? What is he doing? Well, I think there are three things, three aspects to his teaching and preaching here that I think are very relevant to us in the way that we preach and teach. And you can use these three things, which I'll describe in a moment, as filters to look at your lesson, either in preparation of your lesson, or perhaps when you've finished your lesson, you're looking at it and thinking, does it do the parakaleo here? Does it make sense of that? So three tips, three filters you can use. And those are warnings, practicals, and hope. And we'll see in this passage that John the Baptist does all of these. He warns, he gives them practicals, and he gives them hope. And I think most sermons and lessons that give us warnings and practicals and hope are going to be inspiring and comforting. So let's have a look here at what John does. First of all, the warnings. He says to them, the axe is at the foot of the tree. Earlier on in our passage here, he's warning them. The axe is at the foot of the tree in verse 9. Everything that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So there's a warning here. Our lessons will be all the better if they include warnings. Not condemnation, but warnings. We see here that John gives them an idea of the consequences if they don't pay attention to his message and ultimately the message of the Messiah who is to come. It's a warning. Warnings are helpful, warnings are comforting, actually warnings are loving. We come to speak to those who want to see change. They want to see change in their heart. They want to see change in their lives. They want to see change in their relationship with God. We're not talking to the cynics. They may be there, but they're not really our audience. We're not talking to those who've come with a hard heart. Again, they may be physically present, but that's not who we're there for. We're there for those who will heed the warnings. And laying out the consequences of a lack of heeding the warnings is very helpful to people. Now, warnings are not the same as condemnation. We're not there to condemn people. And indeed, John the Baptist is not condemning anyone. He's simply warning them they must pay attention. So the first thing we can do is to warn people. The second thing is practicals. And I love in this passage how John gives the practicals to people who come with their questions. The person with two shirts should share so that the one without has a shirt. Isn't that good news? The shirtless are going to get a shirt. Those who need clothing are going to get clothed. And then the hungry, similarly, if you can help someone because they are hungry, then do so. Anyone who has food should do the same in verse 11. So the hungry are going to get fed. That's really good news and a practical thing. The tax collectors, what should they do? Don't collect any more than you're required to. So fair taxation will be the result of all of these, of John's preaching and teaching. The soldiers, what should we do? Verse 14, don't extort money, don't accuse people falsely, be content with your pay. In other words, we're going to have security forces that act with integrity. You see how powerful this parakaleo is and the good news that's coming. The person with no shirt gets one, the hungry get fed, is fair taxation, and security forces act with integrity. Practical suggestions that are going to help society at large and individuals personally. What a wonderful thing. Do our sermons have enough practicalities in them? Not too many. I've seen sometimes lists of 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 practicals. I think that's just too many. But possibly up to 5 might work. More than one, because the application of scripture can have, well, it can be more than one application for most scriptures. And therefore, for different people in your audience, assuming you've got more than one person there, they're going to have different needs. And so 2 or 3 practicals are probably the most the best number to go with, but some practicals. Don't leave people just hanging there in a vacuum of not knowing how to apply what you've been teaching them. You don't have to restrict it to what you're suggesting with your practicals, but at least offer some practicals. And never forget, a few years ago, a friend of mine, Joe, came up to me after a sermon I preached and thanked me that on a slide I'd put, I think, 4 practicals about prayer life. And he said, that was just so helpful. I really appreciate the scripture and everything you said, but those practicals helped me to think, okay, those are some things I could do. So offer some practicals like John the Baptist. And the third thing we see here is hope. He talks about the Messiah. He says he's coming. This one with the winnowing fork in his hand. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's going to gather the wheat into his barn in verse 17 and burn up the chaff. And it's interesting that although this could be a little bit scary, indeed, really, it's hope he's talking about, because he's talking about the Messiah who is still to come. The one who is coming, the one who is powerful, the one who brings the Holy Spirit, the one who will gather his people. This is good news, and this is a comfort if we understand where John is coming from. It's important that we always leave people with hope. At the end of our lessons, in the conclusion, there must always be hope in our lessons, because there is always hope in Christ. As it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Inspired by hope. In other words, the focus must ultimately be on God, on the Father, on Jesus, on the Holy Spirit. The focus should never end up being on you and I, on let alone the preacher or the people there or any other person or institution. The focus must always end up being on God, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit. And that's what John does. He makes the focus the Messiah, not himself. And not even really the people that he's speaking to, but the Messiah. He's coming, powerful, Holy Spirit, gathering his people. Good news. Parakaleo. 3 things we see here from John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3. Are they useful for you? Warnings, practicals, and hope. Warnings, comfort, because then I know what to avoid. Practicals, comfort, because then I know what to do. And hope, comforts, because it inspires me that Jesus is with me all through my challenges and will take me home to be with him forever. Together, the warnings, the practicals, and the hope inspires. Do you want to inspire people? Then use parakaleo. Use these three ideas to help you to inspire those to whom you will speak. So what are your ideas about this? What are your thoughts on what I'm saying here? I'd love to know your convictions, your questions, your ideas. Please leave a comment anywhere you hear or see this recording. I would appreciate it, and so would everybody else that would then be able to read them. We learn best when we learn in community. I have one favor to ask. Please pass on the link to this to one other person, just one other person who you think might benefit from these recordings. Well, until the next time, I hope you have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. God bless.